Good day, everyone, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. So some days, you come into the studio and you have a plan for the show ahead, and it's interrupted by news, breaking news. That's what happened today for us here at Detroit Today. We had planned to open the show with a conversation about the scandal that has enveloped former President Mark Schlissel at the University of Michigan. But then this morning, the university announced that after months and months of negotiations with survivors of the sexual abuse of Dr. Robert Anderson, who worked at the university for decades, they have reached a settlement with those survivors after a lot of very tense negotiations and really a roadblock that had prevented resolution of this issue. $490 million is the dollar amount that the university and the survivors have settled on. If you are at all familiar with higher education here in Michigan and the issues that surround higher education, you know that this is not the first major public university in our state to have to deal with this issue. Of course, Larry Nassar was a doctor at Michigan State University who also abused many, many people over many, many decades. And that university had to grapple with the way to make those survivors whole as well. It's enough to make you sit and scratch your head a bit about what is going on and what has been going on in higher ed in our state for a really long time. But the news today, I think, is a really welcome development for those survivors, many of whom have been very vocal on campus in recent months and years, and who have been very frustrated by the university's inability or unwillingness to come to terms with all of that. So that is where we want to begin the conversation today, with the news of this settlement and how it fits into the narrative of the other controversies that have developed at the University of Michigan, which, by the way, is my alma mater and a place that I still have pretty deep associations with. I want to welcome someone to the conversation, though, who has been following all of this really closely and knows a lot about what is going on in Ann Arbor. Samuel Dodge is a higher education reporter for MLive and the Ann Arbor News. Sam, welcome to Detroit Today.
It's great to be with you. I don't need coffee this morning. It seems like the news woke me all up.
I was going to say, I can remember in newsrooms when you would get up in the morning and something like this would happen, and you're off and running. It's like you've had a full day already, and it is not 10 o'clock. I do want to start with the news of this settlement, which I think catches some of us by surprise. I think there were mumblings, I suppose, about the idea that now that Mark Schlissel, who has been president since 2014, was out of that position, that a settlement would be easier to reach. A lot of people believed that he was one of the roadblocks to coming to terms with these survivors. I don't know that anyone thought it would be a matter of days, though, before that happened, that it would still be something that might take a bit. Give us a sense of how surprised you are by this news, and then talk about the settlement itself and how big a step forward this is.
Well, I'm relatively surprised that it developed this quickly. There were rumblings, really, once Mark Schlissel was fired for cause, that this was going to start picking up, but I didn't imagine it would be less than a week. I talked to a lot of survivors and attorneys at the end of last year, kind of, you know, really with no end in sight on this mediation. And one of the reasons, there aren't a lot of people at the University of Michigan who knew about Dr. Anderson. There mm-hmm. wasn't a whole lot of, reason to kind of break this case through. And one parallel they always would bring up was, look, the thing that broke the Larry Nassar scandal and the mediation at MSU, what really broke that open was when Larry Nassar was incarcerated. When he was actually convicted, there was an actual data point for the plaintiff's attorneys to say, look, this is, federal courts have weighed in, and or courts have weighed in and said this is where this negotiation is going to go. Let's be on the right side of the legal system and get these survivors their settlement. With Michigan, with Mark Schlissel's removal, that was the major development that I think really broke this thing open. So if you had asked me in December, I would have said, no way this is going to get settled in January. Once Schlissel got fired, yeah, the rumbling picked up fast and furious.
Yeah. And what was it about Mark Schlissel and his tenure as president that represented a roadblock in resolving this dispute between the university and these survivors? We should remind listeners that John Vaughn, a former U of M football player, actually from my era at the university, has been essentially camping out on the lawn in front of Mark Schlissel's house in Ann Arbor and the presidential residence in Ann Arbor, demanding that that he acquiesce to the idea of some sort of settlement with survivors. What was it about Mark Schlissel that made him sort of the target and the focus, I guess, of these survivors and the roadblock to figuring out how to settle all of this?
Well, frankly, this is more kind of scuttlebutt around the Ann Arbor and university community, but Mark Schlissel's personality was not the guy to go out and shake John Vaughn's hand. And that in itself was it really just crept up and kept becoming an issue. Mm-hmm. Because it seems just so heartless at the time. But really, if you talk to survivors, a lot of the things that they'll really relay is that, yes, Mark Schlissel is an issue, but they also have an issue with several Board of Regents. Not going to name them here. It's a bunch of, confidential kind of conversations I've had with survivors, but there are multiple regents that, survivors have had issues with. So Schlissel was almost kind of the embodiment of a lot of kind of callous treatment of survivors. And when you get outside of the Anderson case in particular, and you look at his handling of the Martin Filbert situation, mm-hmm. There were three computer science engineering professors that had sexual misconduct. There were multiple of these situations that emerged over Mark Schlissel's tenure. And then you have, admittedly, an inappropriate relationship. It's not in the same extremity as sexual harassment by Martin Filbert or nearly the sex abuse by Robert Anderson, but that, Mark Schlissel really was symbolic of, from the top down, there was this hypocrisy from the University of Michigan that we're going to handle things, internally, and we're going to have people at the top of the totem pole be, a part of this sexual misconduct culture. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the most symbolic thing, and that's what really wedged this thing loose. But really, there's a more comprehensive complaint when you hear from survivors saying, like, it's really a systemic issue, and it's not just one person like Mark Schlissel.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking with Sam Dodge. He's a higher education reporter for MLive and the Ann Arbor News. We're talking about the breaking news out of the University of Michigan this morning, a $490 million settlement reached between the university and the survivors of Dr. Robert Anderson, a physician who treated many, many athletes at the university over many decades and is reported to have sexually abused at least dozens, if not hundreds, of those athletes. There are many people who have come forward to talk about the things that Dr. Robert Anderson did when he examined them. We're also going to talk in a minute a little more about the dismissal of President Mark Schlissel, who was, up until this weekend, the president at the University of Michigan. The Board of Regents let him go after an independent investigation revealed that he was having a relationship, an inappropriate relationship, with a subordinate. We want to hear from you during the conversation as well. Give us a call and let us know what you think of the settlement between the university and survivors of Dr. Robert Anderson. That $490 million price tag, do you think that's enough to make those survivors whole? Do you think maybe the university owes something more? How do you think of the way that the university has handled this scandal? Not the first in Michigan in recent years with regard to a doctor at a prominent public university. Also, give us a call and let us know what you think of the firing of Mark Schlissel over the weekend. What do you know about the independent investigation that the Regents performed? What did you think of what they found? Did you think it justified letting Mark Schlissel go after about 7 years as president at the university? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page or to Twitter, put comments there, and we'll work you into the conversation that way. Sam, I want to ask you if you've heard from any of the survivors. I know this news just broke this morning, but I wonder what they're making of this settlement. I know that at Michigan State University, there were lots of different opinions among survivors about the settlement that that the university ultimately reached. There were lots of opinions about other things that they thought perhaps the university ought to be doing for survivors. I don't imagine that'll be terribly different here in the case of Ann Arbor. But I wonder if you've heard from anyone quite yet about what they think.
So just real quick, I talked to John Vaughn and Chuck Christian, two of the major football players that have been more of the prominent survivors, and they had just gotten off a flight, so they were foggy in the head, and they were just starting to process it themselves. I think generally they're happy, but they're still trying to sift through a lot of the details of the $490 million settlement. One aspect that I have talked to them before about is what the average payment is going to be compared to the Nassar case. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the total money, $490 million, that's $460 million split amongst the survivors, and then an extra $30 million in reserve to address future claims. The Nassar settlement was about $500 million. And so you look at that on its own and you say, okay, those are two equal ones. But the Anderson survivors have pointed out that they have twice the amount of plaintiffs, more than twice the amount of plaintiffs than the Nassar case. And so the average payment is going to be about roughly half. And one of the aspects there are a lot of, quite frankly, black male athletes that are a part of this litigation and this mediation. And I've talked to them. I've talked to Dr. Jennifer Freed, who's a sexual violence expert, who's actually on another lawsuit looking for institutional reforms at the University of Michigan. And they've talked about how sexual violence against black men is not taken as seriously as sexual violence against white women. And so that's something that I think will be an interesting reaction to see going forward, whether or not survivors are really satisfied with this settlement.
I also wonder if you can talk just a little about these survivors who, as you point out, you've gotten to know. This is a different case and a different it has a different context because of who the victims are here from what went on at Michigan State. And I feel like it has been difficult to draw as much attention to, both because of the kind of external forces that don't perhaps value black males and our issues and our victimhood in the same way that they do for white women, but also because inside the African American community, there is a strain, I think, of embarrassment and shame that accompanies something like this, that also makes it more difficult to get people to talk frankly about what happened and to stand up and demand that something be done. I would imagine that you have seen both of those dynamics up close in this issue.
Yes. And just before I go any further, the first people to come to the defense of the Anderson survivors are the Nassar survivors themselves.
Yes.
Renee Gonchar and the MSU gymnasts. You know, these are survivors that have been with John Vaughn, Chuck Christian at all of these protests. So this isn't like a wedge that's being drawn between, you know, the two parties.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'll talk to John Vaughn and I'll, you know, in his camper right in front of Mark Schlissel's house. And I talked to Chuck Christian, who's like 6'4", 6'5". I'm 5'7" myself. So I'm always cranking my head up to look at him.
Yeah.
And it really breaks a lot of misconceptions about sexual abuse when you realize someone that physically imposing could be abused by, and you look at Dr. Anderson, you know, not a physically imposing person, and you start realizing that it really is a power dynamic in a lot of these cases. And I think one thing that this case can really do is it can break a lot of those misconceptions about sexual abuse. And people like John Vaughn and Chuck Christian, they've been very open about talking about that and how that's been a fight that they've had to deal with in their own Black community and their own kind of athlete community. Strong, powerful men don't necessarily just fight their way out of sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. It's hard to, you know, sometimes it's hard to break that misconception, but, you know, they've been doing God's work trying to get that word out.
Yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Call and tell us what you think of the news this morning that the University of Michigan has reached a settlement with the survivors of Dr. Robert Anderson. $490 million is the number that they've agreed on. Is that enough? Is that too little? Is it maybe perhaps you think it's too much? Also, give us a sense of what else you think the university needs to do to make these survivors whole and, of course, to prevent the things that Dr. Robert Anderson did from happening again to people in the future. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number. You can also go to Facebook or Twitter and put comments there, and we'll try to work you into the conversation that way. Sam, I do want to talk about President Schlissel, or former President Schlissel, and his dismissal over the weekend. Another big shock at the university. I don't know that many people knew that the Regents had begun even an independent investigation about the president, let alone had reached the conclusion that that what they found would inspire them to fire him. Schlissel was already planning to resign as president and had worked out a deal with the Regents that would have kept him at the university teaching and running research and labs and things like that. I wonder what you make of this development, which really changes the picture, I think, for his future, but also changes the picture for leadership at the university.
Well, I think one of the interesting things about the Schlissel firing, it's kind of the worst kept secret around Ann Arbor that he didn't really vibe with the community, that there are a lot of different parts of the university that really didn't feel like he had their best interests in mind. You can talk to faculty. They had a no confidence vote, several student protests against him, obviously the John Vaughn protest in front. And then there's been some great reporting about, you know, that there was tension with the Regents and Mark Schlissel. So really everywhere, it seemed like they were almost waiting for something like this to happen to justify getting rid of him sooner. Hmm. One thing I found interesting about the actual separation was he very clearly broke a policy that he introduced in July while he was having this inappropriate relationship. The policy is no supervisors can have a relationship with subordinates, you know, just like zero tolerance. That's the law, or that's the policy. Mm-hmm. But that's not what the Regents wrote in their letter saying this is why we're getting rid of you. They said that his conduct and comportment was not consistent with promoting the dignity, reputation, and academic excellence of the university. That is a way broader condemnation. And after talking with attorneys about this and whether or not they were able to fire him for cause, that was kind of they said that's the better legal strategy, because at the time where the university is dealing with all this sexual misconduct and reforming it, having someone at the top of the totem pole commit this really just, you know, kind of hurts his case to be able to kind of litigate for some extra compensation. So there's that social piece. There's some cautious optimism about Mary Sue Coleman because she's a more personable personality, but she also was around when Martin Filbert was able to do all of his sexual harassment as provost, and he was in a high position then. So there's cautious optimism about the future of reforming sexual misconduct on campus.
So I of course know Mary Sue Coleman and remember her as president. I also remember the circumstances under which she left the job, and there was real tension with the Board of Regents then. I mean, that was the the impetus for that transition from Coleman to Schlissel. So I guess I was a little surprised to see the Regents turn back to her at this point to come in and at least serve as interim president. Talk about what the expectation, I suppose, is for her in that role and why they went back to her. Now, this is something that's also happened before in the university's history, where mm-hmm. they've gone to a former president to at least sit in the seat while they found a new one. But talk about Mary Sue Coleman and what the outlook for the Regents would be in terms of what she might do.
I think you get two advantages from Mary Sue Coleman sticking around. One is between her and Mark Schlissel, the university's endowment has grown a ton mm-hmm. over the last two decades. So at the very least, you're able to kind of stabilize the financial bottom line of the university. And two, she's not going to fall into the same traps that Mark Schlissel did by rubbing people the wrong way with a kind of a callous personality. She's a much more personable person.
Yes.
If she was living at the South University president's house with John Vaughn in front, she at the very least would have gone out and, you know, shook his hand and, you know, created
giving him
PR
a cup of coffee or something, right? Yeah.
Right. There'd be a little bit more of a connection and a little bit more of an image that the university is working through legal claims, and so they're not going to be able to say everything. But, you know, we are trying to talk with survivors in this instance. So I think those are two things that the Regents were probably thinking, like, this is a smiley face that we can put on a bad situation. But as we talked about, there's been tension before. There was a lot of things with the athletic department that people disagreed about her handling of those issues. There's, you know, she oversaw a lot of issues with sexual misconduct that really cropped up more and more during the Schlissel administration. And so, yeah, I just regarding kind of she's only going to be interim till at least this summer. And then they're hopefully the Regents are going to, you know, look for someone else. I think that's their hope. Mm-hmm. You know, if she's going to stay longer than the summer, then I think there's some really cautious optimism that, she, you know, whether or not she's actually going to change a lot of the cultural issues that cropped up during the Schlissel era.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Sam Dodge, higher education reporter for MLive and the Ann Arbor News. It was great to have you here to explain all the things that are happening at the University of Michigan to our listeners. Thanks so much for joining us. Okay, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk with new Detroit City Council President Mary Sheffield about her plans for leadership in the future in Detroit's legislative branch. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.